We continue in our journey through the Gospel of Mark. We enter into chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to preach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The word of the Lord. I feel like we've preached this before. We've heard this message recently, but isn't it a blessing that we get to hear it again? So the first thing I want to introduce to us to help us frame this passage and its meaning is Peter. Peter, my son. I'm going to let you into Peter's world for a little bit. Come along for the ride, won't you? Earlier this week, he woke up and said, "I'm hungry." And he wants waffle. Now, we get these waffles that are frozen, but they're supposed to be full of vegetables and protein, things we can sneak into the kids' food to get them a little bit healthier. And so I go into the freezer, I take it out, and there's two stuck together, and he goes, "Mine, mine." He wants it right away, and I go, "You can't, it's frozen." I go up to the counter, ding, ding, it's not edible. "Dad, hungry, waffle, now." "All right, here." So I give it to him, and he holds it, and he instantly knows it's wrong. It's not hot, it's cold. And he looks at it, and he goes, "Ew, right? I can't do anything with this." So, of course, we pull up a little step stool. We pull the toaster a little forward. We break it open. He helps me put them in, put them down. And we got to wait for the ding. Ding, it pops. Ooh, waffles are done. There's much joy in the world. And he takes them and he walks away, happy as can be, sits at the table and enjoys his waffle. That's story one. Story two is yesterday. Me and Melissa take all the kids outside and we are going to rake the leaves. Again, it seems like we're raking all the leaves of the community, but we're not. But we get out there. This is our third time. It's whatever's left. They're going to pick it up tomorrow. And so what do? We start going to town, and by 2 minutes in, the kids are going, "All right, well, that's enough." Lucas goes, he grabs his bike, you know, big kid. He's on the bike. He's going around. We live in a cul-de-sac, so he's going around. Well, not to be outdone, Noah, the middle child, "Yes, I'm going to grab my scooter," and off he goes. Zoom, he's going, right? And here comes Peter. He brings his big wheel three trike out. He sets it down in the middle of the place, and he just sits there going, woo! He's going nowhere. Nowhere. But if you were him, boy, you're off. You're going. His feet aren't moving. The pedals aren't going. He's just stationary, right? And we're stopped at this point just laughing. Because for him, this is the greatest ride he's ever been on. And the brothers are going around him. So boy, does he think he's going somewhere. And we are just laughing. Talk about some kind of metaphor of going nowhere fast. Right? Because for him, the wind's in his hair. He for full 5 minutes, woo! Yeah! Full younger brother, third kid energy, okay? Now, after that 5 minutes, it clicks. Something's wrong here. Everybody else is moving but me. And so then he gets upset, right? I want us to hold those stories in our mind as we are reading today's scripture, okay? When we hear about this, because we get the parables, right? And this is one of the big ones. If you had to pick a parable, I'm sure one of you would remember this parable, the parable of the sower. And we're told Jesus is out, he's teaching, and among his teachings, he says this, right? And there's a large crowd, so we have tons of people in the audience, so much so he gets out into a boat so that way his voice projects, right? No microphones back then. So that's what he's doing. And as he's doing this, right, he's teaching, and he's talking about seed being thrown, right, just on the ground and sprouting up. But here's the thing. This is not a parable about what you should be doing in the sense of coming here, listening to my words and what I'm preaching. This is not a parable about preaching in the sense that it is not you need to pick up every word, you need to hang on my every word, you need to know it because it's the good news, right? So I'm sorry for me. That it's not a real good story to listen to me. You don't have to, technically, right? But this is something that Jesus is addressing to his people in this moment. Because here's the other question that the disciples had. How come nobody's as excited about you as we are? Right? They're all in. They're excited. They've left businesses. They've left homes. They're traveling with him. How come there's people that hear what you have to say and just go, huh, and walk away? How come there's people that seem really excited at first and then they're gone? And we never hear from them again. How come there's people that don't just immediately receive this and that they actually argue against it, right? These are questions that the disciples have. This is a story we get in all three Gospels. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so, of course, when they're away, one, the question is, why parables? And what does it mean, right? They're asking these questions, and we're clued in by Jesus that it's talking about the kingdom of God. Oh, one of our favorite topics, right? The kingdom of God. But as he's breaking this down, there's things that we may not catch. Because we are not first century Jewish people living in Galilee. Okay? The first is, and this is interesting, there is already language for God as the sower of the seed. Matter of fact, if you go back and you listen or you participated in our tree Bible study, you know that in the prophets, there was an expectation that God would come and plant his crop, his garden, his people back in the land. And they would sprout and become like a new Eden, a greater Eden, that all the oppressors would be gone and everybody would live fruitfully in the land. And the idea at the time was this was going to be fast. This was going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to happen fast. And boy, we're going to know it because all the people, all of God's people are going to be taken and they're going to be planted in the land and we're going to know it. And every bad person's going to be kicked out. And then life is going to be real good. Right? That's the kingdom of God. That was the expectation. Jesus has other thoughts about that, doesn't he? if we listen to the parable, and we've got a couple of farmers in the room, y'all don't go out and go to the seed and then, whoop, there's the crop. Instantaneous. I bet some of you might like that. It might save you some time, but it's not how it works, right? He's comparing the kingdom and the word of God like a seed that needs to be planted and nurtured and find the right place and find the right soil. And when it does, then it begins to grow. Growing takes time. Growing is not instantaneous. Right? I think he tells parables because he knows there's going to be pushback. The popular idea at the time is we are waiting for the Messiah, and when the Messiah comes, the kingdom of God is going to happen. And Jesus is out there. What is he doing? He's announcing the kingdom of God. As the Messiah, he's inaugurating the kingdom. But he's letting the people know it's not happening all at once right now. And that might be hard for some of his people, the crowds, to hear, because that's not what they want to hear. So he tells them in a parable. And those that catch it, they understand it. They get excited about it. And those that don't, well, they have some differing feelings about that, right? Some go, well, that's your opinion, and move on with their day. Some are going, kingdom of God, great, it's not here, and I still got bills to pay, and the crops are still out there. I got to go, right? And then others are going, Jesus, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong about this. This is an interesting moment where I think we get to reflect on even the structure of the Gospel of Mark. Here towards the beginning, Jesus' ministry is to the crowds. He is thinking about how the crowds are going to react, how best to make sure his message reaches as many people, right? But we're going to get to a point in Mark where he's going to become pretty sad. And he's going to pivot his entire ministry to just the 12. Going, maybe I can't convince the crowd, but I can, if I focus on you 12, something can happen. This could still work. And we see that here. We feel that here. But now here's something else that this, and this is where I think it speaks to us today. Who doesn't get the seed? Do we get told in the story that the seed isn't freely given? No. Liberally thrown out there, right? The word of God, the announcement of the kingdom of God is freely given. We're not told that it's punishment that the weeds choke out the kingdom. We're not told it's punishment that the sun comes up and out, right? We're not told that it's punishment that the birds pick at it away. But like I think any farmer, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, we understand that there's location, there's timing, there's place. And that even the soil depends on how well that plant is going to grow. If that seed is even going to germinate and come out and actually become a plant, correct? I think this has to do with soil. Do you ever realize that at some points we can have people that from a very young age just are on fire for God, and boy, it makes sense. And for others, it could take quite a long time. For some of us, when we really start connecting with God is in our pain and our grief, when we come at our wits' end. And for others, it just seems like God has always been there and they're comfortable at it. Season, place, soil, right? When we talk about preparing ourselves, molding ourselves, making ourselves ready and transformed, we in the church have claimed practices that do that, that tend the soil of our soul, if we would say, right? Prayer, reading our scriptures, going to church, doing ministry, serving one another, fasting. Think about all the holidays that are coming up. We have Advent, we have Christmas, we have Lent, and then we have Easter. And each one of those, there's a preparation, there's a historic way of participating in our faith that is supposed to be tending and molding the soul. The beautiful thing is that we all have been given the seed that is the kingdom of God. The question is, what are we going to do with it? What do we do with it? How many of us have gotten a candle for Christmas? Have you all been excited about the candle for Christmas? SNL did a funny bit about this, where the candle just keeps getting passed on from person to person, right? Because great, we've got this Yankee candle that we just can't get rid of, that just rotates in the family. And almost never anybody uses the candle, but everybody is gifted a candle. We've been given a gift. How are we using it? How are we making sure that our soil is ripe with nutrients? How are we preparing ourselves to allow the kingdom of God, the love of God, the presence of God, the good news of God to grow unhindered in our lives? That's the question, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. And sometimes it's harder at other times, right? But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how we're able to allow ourselves to be ready for this. How do we take time to care? I'm sure anybody who has tried to have a plant in their home understands that you can't just leave it alone. It needs water. It needs love. If you listen to some scientists today, they need to be spoken to and affirmed and loved rather than neglected and left alone. If we understand that about plants, even for those of us who are not farmers, how much more this parable of the sower? I think it's a really good parable teaching of Jesus that engages us with how are we preparing ourselves to live out this life. We've talked before about the kingdom of God as being loved by God and loving others, right? That's one way we can condense down Jesus' teaching. The seasons, the way that we practice our faith are all supposed to be doing that. That's all nutrients to the soil of the soul, allowing God and his kingdom to shape us and to move us and guide us. How are we doing as a church? In what ways, when we gather together, are we tending our soil that is meant to be fruitful and multiply within the community? What actions are we taking? Ooh, it's a good story, isn't it? It's a good teaching. You could see why Jesus wanted to say this, because it breaks the expectation. For some of us, we continue to ask, why hasn't God shown up yet? Why aren't things done in a timely fashion? And Jesus' answer is because it takes time, just like a seed growing into a plant, into a tree. And for us, sometimes we are just so ready and full of energy and we want things to happen now, whether it's in ministry, church, or just life in general. And Jesus' word to us, it's like a seed, it takes time. But how are we allowing that seed to grow? In what way are we nurturing it, feeding it, allowing things to be cleared away so it could grow unhindered? That's our message for today. In what ways are we, both as individuals and as a church, preparing the soil, nurturing the seed so it can grow into the best possible plant it can? How are we tending this garden to make it a forest? That's the challenge of this scripture. That's the challenge of Jesus' teachings today. And dare I say, it's the good news of today, because it means that we get to actively participate in the work of God. that God has given us a gift with the full expectation that we will live into who we are called to be by nurturing this seed. So, how's your soil? Let us pray. Our great God, who is the sower, we give you honor and blessings and glory because you are the one who has freely given us the kingdom of God. Through your Son's birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, you have offered to us the beautiful gift that is the kingdom of God, that comes with forgiveness, that comes with love, that comes with your presence, that comes with all fruit of the Spirit. And we are so thankful and so glad that you have given this gift. And Father, we would ask that in our own lives, it falls on good soil. That from just the one seed that, yeah, normally would maybe produce 10, is now producing 30, 60, 100. Let your word fall upon our hearts, fall into the soil of our souls, and produce such a great bounty, abundance, that we become walking symbols and icons of your kingdom. That where we go, your presence is known. Father, give us the strength, give us the boldness to tend the garden, to tend the soil, to care for the gift you have given us through prayer, through fasting, through reading our scriptures, through gathering together, to singing our hearts out, and to serving one another and to serving our community. Father, every time we may get distracted, every time we may get bogged down, every time there's an every time, may you be there to love us, to hold us, to guide us back, to help remind us that from the very beginning we were gardeners. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your Son, and may we hear his words and his story today and allow it to shape us, guide us, mold us, and make us fruitful. We pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.